We are back on a Wednesday night to talk playoffs. Did we think this was going to happen when the season started? Maybe a little, maybe that much. But, you know, we didn't know. And here we are with some bonus podcast coverage for everybody out there that likes the Where Eagles Dare podcast. So welcome, everyone, on YouTube and Twitch and Facebook Live for joining Lee and Tubby on the Where Eagles Dare podcast. We also want to thank all of our regular listeners on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Audible, Stitcher, Podcaster, Castro. It's hard to remember them all, but we're on just about every platform out there. So we want to thank you for joining us. Lee and Tubby here again to discuss what is sure to be a fun weekend, regardless of you know what your affiliation is. It is Eagles at the Bucks Sunday, January 16th, 1 o'clock at Raymond James Stadium. So are you hyped, Tubby?
I am, man. I feel like we're playing with a little bit of house money. You know, it feels a little bit better when you're not the favorite, because so you can sneak up on the favorite. So it's not a lot of hype and against your team going into it. So, yeah, man, I'm happy that, you know, we can see, you know, in the first year, Nick Sirianni going to the playoffs, man. I think that's pretty dope, man. So I am excited. You know, it's never hurts to get some playoff experience, and it never hurts to play against the defending champs if you're talking about experience. I remember Nick Saban said at halftime when she asked him about it, how can Alabama come back out next half and adjust without the experience? He's like, well, they don't have the experience, but they're about to get it tonight. So Eagles don't have the experience, but they're about to get it on Sunday, man. I mean, there's no tougher opponent, nobody more proven in the playoffs than Tom Brady. It goes without saying, it's the GOAT. So it's gonna be a hell of a Sunday. I'm going to enjoy the game. I told myself I'm just going to enjoy this game, man.
Namaste.
Gotta appreciate seeing my birds just one more time, because next week I may not see them. So you know, it's just, hey, it is what it is. I said I was playing against the GOAT. They're playing against the GOAT. Yeah. The seven-time Super Bowl champion, man.
The Eagles have played against the GOAT before, though, and that's the thing that you have to take into consideration. You know, you said a couple of things there that were definitely spot on. Nick Sirianni, of all the rookie head coaches, only one to get into the playoffs. So you can't deny. You can claim weak schedule, whatever you want. There are other teams out there that had weak schedules. I mean, look at the Colts. Now Frank Reich's not a rookie coach, but I'm just saying they had to play Jacksonville to get into the playoffs and couldn't win that game. You know, and everybody thought they were going to. We're going to talk about that later on in the podcast. But, you know, that's the thing, is that Nick Sirianni, whatever you want to say, whatever reason he got there, you know, we have to admit, we covered him every week. This is the more in-depth that I've ever covered an Eagle season, other than just being a fan, is because of this podcast. And we saw it midway through the season. In fact, it was just after the Tampa Bay game in week six, where they ran the ball, three times with Miles Sanders, and that wasn't going to be good enough. And that was when Nick started to change the game and started to use the ground attack more, and then started to utilize Jalen Hurts more. So that was huge, and I think that's going to come into play this Sunday. Now, whether they win or not, you're right. It's about enjoying the moment, and enjoying the fact that we didn't even know we were going to be here. So let's just, and I think the players would be that way too. And like you said, they're Eagles may not have a lot of experience, but there are a few players on that squad. Fletcher Cox, Lane Johnson, Jason Kelsey. There's guys that were there.
They're champions on there.
And they're going to be a big part of how the Eagles come out with any type of swagger. They have to be. They have to take the reins and say, guys, this is what it's about. This is how it feels like. So I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a great weekend altogether. First weekend of these expanded playoffs. So we've got games on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So if you're a football fan, it is a great time to be alive. Now, normally on our podcast, we recap the previous week's game. And last week we played the Cowboys, and it was kind of not really a real game. So we're going to talk about it briefly, because it leads us right into one of our segments that we've done a lot this year. Hold on. Back up. Technical difficulties. Stupid news headline of the week. And I tell you what, this was Of all the ones we did this year, this is probably the dumbest headline I've seen. And this wasn't the only one like this. This was in like the NFL website, the NFL.com website, where it has their game center thing. But there were plenty others. If you looked at it, just the local Dallas papers, I couldn't believe some of the stuff that they were writing. They almost need to be embarrassed by putting stuff out there like this. You know, I even had a Cowboys fan who's a, you know, friend of the show and friend I do another podcast with start texting me going, I'm embarrassed. This is stupid to be able to be beating your chest and bragging about setting records, you know, getting the most points scored by Cowboys in a season, doing all that, 61, laying 61 points down. It is really embarrassing for the organization, in my opinion, to do this against third stringers and practice squad players. I mean, come on, guys. Seriously, this is what you're going to hang your hat on.
That's what makes them the Cowboys, though. Like, that's what makes them a team that hasn't won a Super Bowl in, what is it, 27 years now. Mm-hmm. But yet, you still feel like you have to put up with them. And that's why I was getting frustrated during the games, because I know I'm still getting text messages from my friends, and I'm just thinking to myself, like, they don't care that these are the third string. You know, they just want to see us fight back. So, yeah, man, it was embarrassing. I was like, man, see Dak Prescott walk in there and throw five touchdowns. I was extremely annoyed by it more than anything else. I'm like, you know, if this the case, if he's going to go there and throw five touchdowns, then why not blitz his ass to the point where he's getting hit so much, they just pull him from the game, and then we start to really understand what we're playing for here, you know. I thought Gannon let Dak off the hook, especially walking out there in the second half. I can see you wanting to get a half in for your starters. You know, Aaron Rodgers played the half. There's a lot of quarterbacks that played the half, and Aaron Rodgers, he didn't need to step on the field at all. Mm-hmm. And he still played the half. So I understand how you wanted to catch him in the groove. I think if Hurts was healthy, I think we should have gave him a half as well, because I mean, he's still his first year starter. He doesn't need that much rest, especially if we could be one and done. Man, just play, you know, get as many reps as you can, and then, you know, walk into the playoffs still trying to be sharp, because, you know, we've had a little rhythm on these past couple weeks. But yeah, man, it still just hurts, man. I thought Gannon should have sent a little more pressure towards him, just because, man, it just was too embarrassing. Then to see like them to have the embarrassment of wealth at wide receiver, especially when it comes to Cedric Wilson. I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, Cedric Wilson would be our number two receiver without question. Mm-hmm. And yet this guy doesn't even get any burn unless he's playing against us. Like, you know, if guys didn't get hurt in front of him, Michael Gallup didn't get hurt in mm-hmm. front of him, you know. Right. And look how good Wilson is, and this is their fourth, fifth. That's just how much firepower they have on offense, man, at almost every position.
You know,
yeah, go ahead. No. I was just saying, it's just a good, you know, confidence booster for Dak, and that's what you don't want to see going into the playoffs. He was a little down, and I felt like because they're the Cowboys, they're going to pump all that false, just fool's gold. It was just fool's gold, yeah. To play against our team.
And I told a friend of mine this. I said, you know what? You can either look at it as is pumping yourself up or setting yourself up for failure, because it's like you like playing the preseason. If you start your starters all through preseason and you go 4-0 in the preseason, you're going to get your ass beat in the regular season because you've not tested anybody. You've really not put you're going to be overconfident. You're going to think, oh yeah, we're going to come out there. When you're shooting passes against Zach McPherson, a rookie, and then some practice squad guys playing at safety, it's ridiculous to pump yourself up saying, yeah, we scored on every drive in the first half. Well, you better have. But here's the kicker. You were still only up 23-17 just before the half against a bunch of practice squad guys that were kicking your ass. I mean, let's be honest. And regardless of what you want to say about Minshew, we know he's not Hurts, but he's got, you know, enough talent to go out there against their defense, who I don't care what the Cowboys fans want to say, they were only missing Trayvon Diggs and Micah Parsons. Now, granted, those are big losses. They had everybody else out there. They had Lawrence out there. They had Gregory out there. I don't want to hear it. You had Van Der Esch out there against only Devontae Smith was in until he set the rookie receiving record. We're going to talk about that. And then Jason Kelce was in there for one snap. The rest of it was no starters. You know, we had Gainwell in there as our running back. No Boston Scott, no Jordan Howard, no Miles Sanders. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about this team running up, you know, and scoring 17 points on you. And let's just point out, a shanked punt on a bad three and out led to 30-17 right before the half, or else it would have been 23-17 going in the half. And then let's point out also that if it wasn't for a certain player who really needs to go, then we would have, they would have been actually, it would have been 30-24 early in the third quarter. If JJ Arcega-Whiteside catches this pass in the end zone at the start of the third quarter, it's 30-24. And you're looking real bad, Cowboys. Looking real bad. But this is a tweet by Shannon Sharp that he put out there that, about JJ Arcega-Whiteside, basically just telling the truth. He's been dropping passes and been terrible ever since his arrival in Philly. Who actually thought he'd catch that pass? I don't think anybody did. He's been dropping those wide open passes in the end zone since he got there.
You know what the crazy thing about that, I mean, I think saying it's a drop gave him too much credit. He didn't even touch the football. No. It hit him in his chest and rolled down. That's how, I mean, bruh, for a wide receiver to not, to the ball to hit you in your chest, especially a looping ball. It wasn't like it was on a line. I mean, the ball was hung up in the air. Because remember, it was like a little tussle there, pushed off, and then he's falling down. And that ball is coming down. You know, in baseball, they call it a can of corn. You know, it's a can of corn. You're supposed to just, whoop, catch that, ridiculous. Man. That was embarrassing, man. And, yeah, you're right. It definitely could have made the game way more interesting for sure. Man, it was just one of those games, but whatever.
Yeah, it's over. It's in the past. We're not going to spend too much time on it. We're not going to talk about the negatives of that game. I will say that they should be more embarrassed than pumping up their chest because – they were nearly getting beat by practice squad players. And I was enjoying the whole first half. Second half, whatever. They wore the practice guys down, took advantage of them. I didn't even care. I turned it off by beginning of the fourth quarter. I just couldn't believe, like you said, how long they left Dak and the company in, risking injury when they didn't need to. And it just reminded me of like when the Eagles had clinched in 2017 on their Super Bowl year and they had to play the Cowboys at the end of the season. They had Nick Foles in for like one or two series and he actually threw a pick and then they pulled him for Nate Sudfeld. That's it. All right. We just put him in, get you right out. Mm-hmm. And the game ended up 6-0. There wasn't any like big running up the score or anything like that. This was just, I do kind of hope if the Eagles, even if it's not this season, but I would love to see it in the playoffs this year, to see them get a real game in the playoffs against the Cowboys. That would be really interesting to me if that would happen with what they did last Sunday, you know, with that kind of running up the score against practice squad guys, how the Eagles would respond to that on a real stage. Now, granted, you said, they have a lot of firepower. It doesn't mean that they're going to, you know, that it's going to come out in the Eagles' favor, but I still would like to see it. So we'll see how that goes. But some positives from the game that we do want to mention is Jason Kelce came into the game with a 121-game starting streak. Started the game, played one snap, and then was out. Legend. And that's what that little meme says. This is great. I mean, keeps his 121-game starting streak going. And that was great when he came in. He was like, yeah, he needs to go right back out. We need him for the playoffs, that's for sure. So big props up to Kelce. Besides that as well, Devontae Smith set the new franchise rookie record for receiving yards in a single season for the Eagles, eclipsing DeSean Jackson's previous mark as a rookie. We know this guy's special. And he's proven it week in, week out. He's made catches like the toe tappers that he's made throughout this season. We haven't had that in a while in Philly. Right. So big props to Devontae Smith and company for doing that. And one other guy we got to talk about is Jake Elliott. He's had an outstanding year for the Eagles. Can't say enough about what he's done as far as his percentage of making kicks this year. So Jake Elliott is 90% on field goals this year. Best in a season in Eagles history. 30 out of 33 field goals. He was 74% last year, which is unbelievable. But the new special teams coordinator, the coaches, special team coaches, Michael Clay, Tyler Brown, Joe Pannunzio, they've been outstanding. We've loved our special teams other than really Jalen Reagor returning kicks has been outstanding. He's also the first Eagles kicker ever to make all of his extra point attempts on the road and field goals on the road in a season, 38 of 38. So big props to Jake Elliott. He has a great season. Let's see it continue going on in the playoffs. I did want, I had to look that up to make sure I got those stats out there right.
That's pretty good dope, stuff. Man. That's pretty dope, man.
But now,
a lot of good things happen this year for us.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so if you look at that Cowboys game, they might have got some records, but so did the Eagles. So it's a wash. It doesn't matter. At the end of the season, at the end of the day, the Eagles, all the Cowboys did was move up into the third spot because the Rams ended up losing on Sunday to the Niners, dropped them to four. So it wasn't that big a deal for the Cowboys anyway. They really didn't need to do that, but whatever. It's a gamesmanship. If you want to do it, great. That's why you are you, and we'll move on. So moving on, we got to talk about the wild card matchup. Now, I got this slide up here because I wanted to start off with a little bit of a downer and then build us back up. These are the numbers for Tom Brady and Jalen Hurts on week six matchup. It wasn't really good. 12 of 26 for Jalen Hurts for 115 yards, one TD, one interception. And for Tom Brady, it was 34 of 42 for 297 yards, two TDs and a pick. And it was even better than that, in my opinion. What you got to look at on this stat is Tom Brady in the middle of the field. It just ate us up. Near perfect within the just over the 10-yard mark, you know, from the within the line of scrimmage to 10 yards. And that's where the Eagles, where we've talked about their defensive weaknesses. And Tom Brady exploits that. If you're going to leave that middle wide open and you're going to back your receivers up, and he's going to eat you up all day. So it's important when we look at these stats that this was a really, really, really bad game. Granted, the Eagles only lost, 28-22, if I'm not mistaken, that was the final. And, you know, they came from behind, but it was an ugly game, going into the third quarter, start of the fourth.
So. One of the most glaring stats, and I was going to speak on that as well, just looking at that game. And as you can see, it's right there. 10 yards or less, Tom Brady is 29 for 30.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, it's 29 for 30?
Yeah.
I mean, that, you're talking about 1,000 paper cuts. Justin Herbert had 30 incompletions. I mean, he went 29 for 30 on us. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why, it just kind of popped up in my head when I saw it. I was like, damn. It's like, Herbert had 30 incompletes over the weekend, and Brady, then they had 30 completions for 10 yards or less on us. So, but that was the game. You know, Gronk didn't play in that game as well, too. So, remember, even those yards with having Gronk, I know they lost a lot of their other weapons, but, man, it just speaks to it plays right into our weakness. You know, that soft coverage. But they also are a big play team too. You know, you watch that middle of the field, but the Bucs have the most plays over 20 yards in the season with 76. 76 plays over 20 yards, man. It's number one in the NFL. Actually, you know, the top nine teams that had in the top 10, nine of those teams that have over plays, most plays over 20 yards, they made the playoffs. So it's something as well too. Yeah, a lot of those stats, man.
Well, so what's interesting though is if you look at Tom Brady's, it was over, in the deep range against the Eagles. But that's because the Eagles play everybody back. The Eagles won't let you get those big plays downfield, but they'll give you a million underneath. And that's the scary thing, is that Tom Brady adjusts his game for what you're going to play against him, and he's not stupid. So I think in this game, Gannon has really got to call a better game. He's really got to mix it up. And I'm not talking about just zone, just man. Mix it up. Disguise blitzes. We've talked about this a little bit before the podcast. Disguise your blitzes. Bring blitzes, because it's going to be important. We can't have Brady back there just like we've talked about before, just eating sunflower seeds, you know, and just relaxing, having a good time. Because that's what he did in the last game, and we just can't have it.
Can't have it.
But looking at the stats, you know, going into the game, this is just the standard stuff we look at every week. Like you said, points scored per game, the Bucs are second in the league. The Eagles 12th at 26 points. Points allowed per game, the Bucs are fifth in the league, only allowing 20 points per game. Eagles 18th, allowing 22.6. Not a big disparity. Total yards per game, Bucs with 415 yards a game, second in the league. Eagles 320, 14th in the league. Passing yards per game, 316, Brady. Unbelievable at his age, number one in the league, passing yards per game. Eagles near the bottom, but passing is not their strong suit. We know that the running game is. And that's when you look at the running game, you see the Eagles are 159 yards a game average for first in the league, and the Bucks 26 in the league. That's the one stat that the Eagles dominate them. Time of possession, Bucks 19th, the Eagles 22nd in time of possession. Neither one that great. Third down efficiency, very close here. Bucks are second in the league at 42% or 47%. Eagles are fourth in the league at 45%. Sacks, they're much better than we are. We're 31st in the league with 29 sacks. You'd think we'd be much better than that, but we just haven't been. And they're at sixth with 47 sacks. And then interceptions, they have 17 on the year. The Eagles have 12, and they're eighth. We're 20th, respectively. So stat-wise, it's if you look at the whole season, they're a much better team on paper. But the Eagles have been a little bit better over the last few weeks. Granted, the schedule has been a little bit easier, but they still have played much better. Granted, a lot of it's been come from behind stuff. So I just wanted to point out this slide that we looked at week six, and I brought it back up for this one. It's the one with Godzilla with an Eagles helmet, and he's facing off against Ghidra, the three-headed monster. And back then we were worried about Godwin, Brown, and Evans, and it did. They hurt us, all three of us. But going into this game, they don't have but Evans back. Godwin's gone, and we know what happened with Antonio Brown stripping on the field and running off. So they've got Evans and Gronk. And since they've lost those guys, their offensive attack, if you look over their last three games, may not be as strong as the Bucs once were early on in the season. And they've struggled, I thought, in the last few weeks. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, proof's in the pudding. You know, they had to come back against the Jets. They didn't even score against the Saints.
Exactly.
They lost to Washington earlier in the season, a team that we beat twice. You know, granted, we played like, you know, one and a half of Washington, but, you know, under different circumstances. But, yeah, you know, they've kind of limped into the playoffs. They definitely didn't come in riding high. But when you lose, you know, a lot of your top guys like Godwin for the year, for the ACL, Fournette's been on the IR. He was catching a lot of passes for Brady out the backfield. He's been a little check down monster for Brady. I had him on my fantasy roster, so Fournette will get about 7-8 targets a game. So we have to worry about that as well, too, because once he does get the ball, somebody has to tackle him. If he's getting that ball out on the edges, man, Clay and Nelson, Clay don't like to hit. He'll scoop the ball and score. He'll catch a pick, but he's not much of a guy that's going to come downhill. So get out in the flats, man. We're going to need our linebackers to really get out there. It's going to be a problem for us. But overall, like you see, man, you know, their strengths are our weaknesses and vice versa. You know, we do well. You know, they don't even try as much. I'm not going to say they don't do well because they still have Leonard Fournette. They just don't try as much. They just have, you know, Tom Brady. So you're going to keep the ball in his hands more than anything else, man. And that's not nothing new.
You say a good point there is the linebackers are key in this, you know, and seeing what they're going to be able to do and what mixture we've got out there as far as Avery and Bradley and Edwards. I got to see a lot of Edwards. You know, if Singleton gets in there, great. But the big thing is that middle. Where they normally, Gannon normally has them start off. If they're back up like they normally are, it's going to be really hard to stop the run. And we've noticed that the Eagles struggle stopping the run when they're so worried about playing that zone. Because even the linebackers play back. So I'm kind of concerned about that. But, I mean, it really, there's a lot of key factors. So we're going to get into what your keys are for the game right now and kind of break that down to what the top things that we're looking for in this playoff and might lead us to victory. So go for it.
Yeah, man, that's, you know, first thing that can't be overlooked is coaching. It's the playoffs. Coaching, this is where a lot of the rookie mistakes will cost you your entire season. This coaching staff is a lot of veterans, you know, and they're champions. You know, we got all new guys in their first time running this job. We have guys that are champion. They're the returning champions. They've been to they've seen greatness. And it's Brady as well, too. Bruce Arians, you have Brian Leftwich at offensive coordinator. You know, he's calling a hell of a game for Brady. I always wonder how that was going to work out, but it's obviously worked out well. And then, you know, how the Bucs beat Kansas City last year in the Super Bowl was that defense, man. So making those defense adjustments, I forgot his name, a Jets coach. But he called up a hell of a scheme against Patrick Mahomes, had him running all over the place, man. That's when guys step up in big games, and these guys are proven. So coaching staff, man, is going to go towards the Bucks. So you know, saving those timeouts is going to be key for Sirianni. Just really staying focused on the game is going to be really key for Sirianni. Can't get distracted, which he will. You know, hopefully the moment isn't too big for him. He's make those good calls. You know, sometimes, you know, clock management, we mentioned in the last few games, end of the half, hey, what are you doing here? Are you going to call a timeout? Are you just going to let him run? Like, what are we doing? Sometimes we don't know. One thing that comes to coaching, too, is when things don't go well early, don't change too fast. And that's some things that the Eagles can do. We can start off running the ball well, then we'll come out with six straight passes. And it's like, ah, you know, but coaches that know what work and know what works for them, they'll just stay the course. They'll just stay the course and do what they do well. And so I think that's going to be one of the biggest differences there, man, is consistency. And running the ball, man, we got to do what we do well. Man. We're number one in the league. We've even seen, we know our running scheme works because even against the Dallas Cowboys front, in our backups, you could tell our scheme works because we were still getting yardage. I mean, they ran the ball a couple times on third down, third and five, running the ball. I mean, that's major to be able to run the ball on third and five. You know, you have a lot of you have a good scheme going on, and you can tell that even getting the ball down the field, no matter who's quarterback, we still aren't really gunning the ball down the field. It's not really opening up on the offense. So do what we do best. Let's run the ball. And that's going to be our best bet, man, because it keeps the ball out of Brady's hands, man. Then the matchups, man. Slay against Evans is going to be a big one. Because Brady is depleted at the wide receiver spot, you can expect Evans to get the ball early and often, man. He's coming off an injury. He was hurt a little bit last week, so we'll see how he comes into this game. I mean, he can throw to Gronk with his eyes closed, man. So TJ Edwards, he's going to have his hands full. And a lot of those guys, man, this is where Singleton comes in, where he's too small to run behind Gronk. It'll look really bad. So Edwards is going to have to be there. And guys are going to have to come down from that safety spot and try to lay the wood on Gronk, man, because we get dink and dunked, man, all year. When you showed that stat, that red was right there in the middle, all in little Gronk's area, even though he didn't play against us last year. But we always know he's a big part of it. And, man, you got to hit the goal or suffer the consequences, man. I really believe this interior pressure. You look at any team that's had success against Tom Brady, interior pressure. And that's kind of our strength on our line with Hargraves and Fletch Cox. And you see Milton Williams, you know, he had a couple splashes here and there. So, you know, that interior pressure. I have to say it again because he's back there just eating sunflower seeds, man. We know he's going to get the ball out quick. We've seen it, 29 for 30 in that last game and 10 and under. That's probably, 1.5 seconds? You know, that ball is out of there. So you can't expect him to just sit back there and let him tackle. He's not going to do that. So Gannon has to pressure, man. Gannon has to, like you said earlier, keep mixing it up. Keep switching guys around. Just go for broke, man. Go for broke against Brady. Leave nothing left in the tank, man. That's what I want to see. And I think if we can run the ball effectively, not make stupid mistakes coaching wise, no turnovers obviously from our quarterback, you know, that's always going to help. No turnovers, which I think you can do, run the ball well, man, and just not play that soft ass defense. I think we have a shot here. But if we come out with that defense, man, we're just might as well just really enjoy the games. Pour your margaritas up, relax, and just enjoy, because there's nothing you can do because Gannon is going to keep calling the same defense the whole game. So you just hope they can make the adjustments, man, along the way. Yeah, man. But this is a dangerous Buck team, but I think the Eagles have what it takes to beat this team. Do I expect them to beat them? Maybe not necessarily. It's not my prediction yet. But because, come on, man, it's Tom Brady, man. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady does not have a great losing record in the playoffs. It's as simple as that. It's just as simple as that.
It might be different if it was like the Super Bowl, like we beat him in the past, you know, and it's a big game. But this first round, he doesn't rarely go out in the first round. So we know this. We know what we're getting into. Like you said, the thing is about hitting him. The teams that had success, if Jonathan Gannon isn't watching the Saints game over and over and over again to see what they did to Brady in that game, 9-0 they beat the Bucs. And a big part of it was he didn't have all his weapons. He didn't, but they pressured him. They came at him from different angles. They brought corner blitzes. They brought linebacker blitzes from different. They brought stunt blitzes. It was really, it just confused him all night long. You could see the guy threw a dang laptop or whatever, the tablet, across the benches and smashed it because he was so frustrated. And that's, to me, that's the biggest key that you put in there, was that you've got to frustrate this guy. You just can't let him get comfortable back there, because if he's comfortable, he's going to have a great day. So, yeah, it's nothing that I'm expecting to win. And I think that for me, it's just going to be, like you said, it's going to be a lot of fun. I know that if it gets into the third quarter and the Eagles are close within, say, 6 points or something, I'm going to get my hopes up, and then if they lose, I'll be frustrated. But that's what it is to be an Eagle fan. But, man, just to get one playoff win, especially against Brady in this season, would be a huge statement for these guys. You know they know it. They know what they're getting themselves into, and they got to be excited. This is a team I think a lot of people don't want to play right now because they're unpredictable. It's like fighting a southpaw in boxing, and I think that it's going to be a big difference, because it's like that guy you play in Madden who always pulls out Michael Vick back in the day. You couldn't beat the guy because you didn't know where he was going to come from at you, because he's got one of the fastest players on the field in Jalen Hurts, and you don't know what Jalen Hurts is going to do from play to play. If things break down, he takes off. And if he doesn't, if you try to box him in, he can hit Devontae or Goddard. So we've got, like you said, we've got a chance. So we'll see how it all works out. It'll be fun. But let's take a quick look at the injury report. What's interesting about the Eagles going into this is they had all those guys on the COVID list, but now they've activated all these guys. Jannard Avery's back, Fletcher Cox, Epps, Goddard, Herbig. It was just put out a tweet. Everybody's off the COVID list now. And what the benefit of this is, they can't be tested again this week. So they're all going to be starting, and we were not going to have any COVID issues. So that's a good thing. As far as what's going on with the injury report right now for the team, is that we've got a few players that were in limited participation today. Sean Bradley's got a stinger. Dickerson's got a thumb injury. Dillard, a knee. Herbig, an ankle. Sanders, of course, he's still got his fractured hand. And Greg Ward is back. Out of those guys, only a few of them are questionable for the game. So we're looking at Herbig's questionable. Greg Ward is questionable. He's not going to see much playing time anyway. Dillard is backup lineman. And Josh Sweat did not practice. He has an illness. So he's questionable right now, but could actually come into play later on for that. As far as Tampa Bay goes, if you look at their injuries right now coming out of Wednesday, Nelson, their linebacker, has got an ankle injury, and he's questionable. Giovanni Bernard is on injured reserve, so we're not going to see any of him. Or Ronald Jones, he's doubtful with an ankle injury. So they're really just going to have to rest on Fournette, who's got a hamstring injury he's coming off of. They expect him to play, but he's just coming off of injured reserve. So then you've got their receivers that are out. You got Mike Evans, who's nursing a bad hamstring, and he's listed as questionable right now on the Wednesday report. Again, expected to play, but these guys are a little banged up. And considering the fact that they don't have Brown after his tirade, and they don't have Godwin anymore, it could be interesting on the injury front. We could be the benefit of that. So who knows?
Yeah, man. I'm excited, man. I know no team wants to play against. The biggest thing, man, the Eagles, they like to get themselves in a hole. And then, you know, with the run game being your strength, you're in the hole. Now you're trying to run back out. And it just kind of takes all the steam out, man. I think if we can jump ahead, even by 10 points, like we flip the script, we go up by 10. I think he can frustrate Brady by seeing us on the field continuously running the ball 5 yards, 6 yards, first down, 5 yards, first down. You know, that could just, you know, makes you anxious when you can't, because running, man, when you can't stop the run, it feels really discouraging. Now, you know, when somebody's lighting you up on the pass, you always feel, all right, we can just get them out of rhythm a little bit. We just get them out of rhythm, you know, one here. But if you're just getting pushed off the ball every play, you really do feel like there's nothing you can do about it. But, you know, Bucks have some good guys, man. What's Elvia, strong guy in the middle there. You know, they got some JPP. They had like a linebacker or something like that. Mm-hmm. Now. But, you know, they got some guys. Shaq Barrett is back. Mm-hmm. They'll have some guys, but hey, man, I'll take our line the way they're playing right now, the confidence in which they are playing in, because being able to run the ball like that takes a lot of cohesion. You know, you have to be in sync you know, firing off at the same times, getting those blocks, trusting the guy next to you to open up that hole, as you know, as well as you will. So, I think if we just run the ball, I think we can really frustrate them. But it all comes down to, I hate to put it all on one person because I don't think anything is one person. But, man, if Gannon plays a soft defense, man, most quarterbacks average 80% on this. Brady had 80% last game. So I'm not picking on Gannon. I'm just saying if you give him 80% completion rate like you did last time, you cannot expect to win this game.
Yeah, I agree. We've talked about him all year, and when he plays aggressively, the Eagles have done really well. When he mixes up coverages and he brings the blitz and brings the extra man, when he sits back and just relies on his front four to get to the quarterback, and against this line, this offensive line that doesn't give up a lot of sacks, that's not a good recipe. That's a recipe for disaster. And also it affects the time of possession battle, because we have to win the time of possession if you're going to beat Brady. You have to keep him off the field. And that includes running the ball, like you said, with both Hurts and our trio of backs, and trying not to hit the teeth of the defense. If you want to run up the middle a few times, that's fine. But where we seem to excel is on those edges. Those edge runs that we have where we get those stunts and we get these pulling linemen like Kelsey coming out and chipping away at guys and forming little holes on the edges. That's where our running backs seem to excel, both Boston, Howard, and Sanders. So if Sanders plays, great. If not, if it's Howard and Boston, then we just got to get him out on the edge, get him in space, and win that time of possession battle, and it's going to make a big difference. And I think how Hurts shows poise in the run game as well by sticking with it and then running when he needs to, get that clock going, get that clock grinding, keep the Bucs offense off the field. So it brings me to a good point, because we've talked about Hurts up and down all year, but overall we have to be supportive and believe in this guy as our quarterback, if not for just next year, if for the future. And there was an interesting video that came out this week with Carson Palmer that did a stat comparison. And I wanted to share that real quick just to talk about our QB and pump him up a little bit going into this game.
Wait a second. Jalen Hurts is better than Lamar Jackson? Hey, let me read some stats to you. Jalen's 15 starts into his career. Let's go side by side with a guy who won an MVP early on, has been to the playoffs every single year, and is due to sign a big-ass contract. Lamar Jackson, 4,120 yards total offense. Jalen Hurts, 4,115 yards. 26 total touchdowns by Lamar Jackson, 29 by Jalen Hurts, 12 turnovers by Lamar Jackson. Jalen's only got 11. Lamar had 213 first downs. Jalen's got 209. And I will just tell you this for a fact, that Lamar entered into a much better situation than Jalen Hurts. And look, it's not like Jalen has the most physically gifted arm I've ever seen. He's got a very solid arm. He's got great mechanics and he makes great decisions, but it's these runs. This dude falls on his face. That's an NFL guy just like falling on his face because some guy juked him. Like, I see it in high school highlights. I don't see it a lot in the league. The cutback, get vertical. I mean, over and over and over again. Turn on any game he's played so far and you will find 3 to 5 really good highlights. Jalen Hurts right now is off to an unbelievable start, throwing it, running it, leading. He had to go to 2 different colleges just to get a chance to get himself in a position to get drafted. So a lot of people have slept on him. I have doubted in the past whether or not his game from college would translate to the league, even though I love Jalen, been around him since he was in high school. But the numbers don't lie, and neither does the tape. And look, you do it once, that's cool. You do it twice, maybe you got lucky. But Jalen continues to do this. He did it at Bama, he did it at OU, he's doing it in Philly. This is starting to look like a pattern.
I like that. I like that, what Carson Palmer says. It's starting to look like a pattern. And that's a really good analysis when you take it into perspective, because, you know, he's had some rough games. And this game against Bucks, the first game in week 6, was probably his worst game of the year performance-wise. But you when you look at that and you look at what we've seen all year long, you have to give him the benefit of the doubt. You have to start embracing him as the starter, because this guy is seizing it right now. And this game on Sunday is going to make a big difference in cementing his legacy.
You know what game last week that made me think about Jalen? Not because of how Garoppolo was playing per se, but just the status of the game. Garoppolo was entering the fourth quarter with 2 picks, you know, no touchdowns, 100 something, like close to 200 yards, but he had almost no effect on the game. And then all of a sudden, boom, all of a sudden something just happened. And I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, that's the patience that we need in Philly as well, too, is that, you know, if the first quarter doesn't go right, second quarter, just look at the full body and that patience. And I think if Garoppolo was at home, they would have booed him off that field. And they may have not have had that comeback. And I think earlier in the season, those home games and just that, just the buzz that was in the air in Philly that early on, because, you know, new relationship, you know, on a lot of fronts. And it did take a lot of patience, but I know that article that I sent you, I don't know if you were able to check it out, but it just shows how the Eagles fans can be, you know, just so emotional, man. And yeah, man, you know, right now, no matter what, we have a quarterback that is playing well, Pro Bowl alternate, he's still on the rookie contract. So you might as well build around him. We're still paying Carson Wentz. I think Carson was on the books for like 33, 35, right, or something like that this year. We're still paying Carson Wentz. Yeah. We're still paying DeSean Jackson's salary, partial of that. There's so many other things that is going on, and it's like, look, if we sign another quarterback, we sign a Russell Wilson, we sign a DeSean Watson, that's going to put us so high out the cap room, it's going to make it crazy, which is Dallas is going to face. Watch, Dallas is going to come up against it. They got a nice team now because they have all these rookies. So when you have a young quarterback that is showing improvement, if the trajectory is up, you should support him, because it doesn't cost you anything to support him. No. You get what I'm saying? It doesn't cost you anything to support him. Now, if he's thinking up, that's one thing. But yeah, man, it's a really good moment. And when having three draft picks coming up, you know, this is where teams get healthy. That's what happened with Carson Wentz. That's why we were able to do so much around Carson before we gave him the big contract, because we weren't paying him anything.
Exactly.
Russell Wilson, when Legion of Boom was winning their championship, they weren't paying Russell Wilson anything. As soon as they had to pay Russell Wilson, Legion of Boom breaks up. There's not enough money around. So we have a young quarterback that has the drive, man, that gives you everything. Hurts has never walked off the field. Now I'd be like, come on, man, you could try harder than that. It's not about trying. It's just about, you know, the mistakes are there. Rookie mistakes are there. You know, second year, sophomore mistakes are there. But the heart is there. The leadership is there. We can work on the game. You know, good coaches will be able to work on that game, man. So, yeah, man, I'm high on Hurts, man. Hope they build around him. I don't know who we can get in the draft or who we should get in the draft. Looking at our stats, man, I don't want to take it to the draft, but just talking about our team in general, since we've kind of talked about the Bucks. I don't know. We got more Bucks stuff. But just talking about the team in general, man. You've noticed our draft picks is scheduled to be 15th, 16th, and 19th
right
this year. And that's considering we lose to the Bucks is 19th, right, that 19th pick. And a lot of guys, man, they have us picking up your boy from Michigan. I don't know how to say his last name.
Ojabo.
Yep. And Ojabo, and basically Lyman. But I don't know how I feel, man. I don't know. Maybe we can have a draft pod. You know, we talk about the draft, talk about things that's coming up for the draft, even right at the end of the season or something, and then going into the draft as well. So I got a lot of guys on my list, man, that I think, I don't know. We're still seventh in defense, no matter what. I mean, I know it. It never looks pretty, but somehow we've played 17 NFL games, and however it's fallen, we're seventh overall. I don't know how, but I don't know how. Like, I was surprised looking at the stat myself. I'm not high on. I'm not pumping our defense chest by no means. I'm just saying somehow, some way, whether we've three stooges it or not, or however we've done it, we're seventh, man. So teams do get a lot of field goals against us a lot of times too, man. So I don't know, man. Yeah, man. I'm high on the Eagles, man. I'm really excited about next year too. I really am, man, because I'm thinking like, man, we got a lot of guys we don't have to pay yet. We don't have to pay Devontae Smith yet.
No.
A lot of guys we don't have to pay.
No. And so a few things that you said there that were really interesting. Like I said, the draft right now, we've got the Dolphins pick and the Colts pick, both who failed to make the playoffs. So that helped us out quite a bit. With that happening, because it could have lowered the draft capital had the Colts won that game. And going forward, like you said, if Hurts is this good right now, we have to expect him to get better. If he doesn't, then we can cut ties. But you got to expect this guy. This is his first full year as a starter, and he's got his team in the playoffs. And it's not been just the running backs to do it. He has done so much on the field and made plays with his legs and through the air that you have to love what he's doing. And another thing you said was really important was we're on the road for this game on Sunday. And that may people may look at that as a negative. Jalen has played a lot better on the road. He tends to get a little bit under the pressure in Philly. And we didn't win until like week 11 against the Saints at home. And the previous game against Tampa Bay was at home. And so now we're getting them in Tampa. And I just got to think he's going to play better on the road. If we can avoid, like you said, the slow starts then and get off to a good start in that game, he could get on a really good roll. If he starts off fast, he's going to finish fast because we are a second-half team. So it could, again, we're just going to enjoy it. Just sit back and enjoy it. Now, speaking of Carson Wentz and that debacle against the Jacksonville Jaguars, it's crazy. That leads us to probably one of my favorite segments that we do here on the Where Eagles Dare podcast, and that is...
Hell to the no, to the no, 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 no. Hell, no, no, to the no, no. Hell to the no, no. To the no, 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 no. Hell to the no, no. To the no, 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 no.
Can you believe this? This is our Hell to the No segment right now. This is an actual article from the Indianapolis Star that put out after that loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars. What would it cost the Colts to release Carson Wentz right now? They're already done. And I hate it because Carson is a good guy, but we saw this after his ACL injury, after he blew out everything against the Rams. He left it all on the field for us. So that's one of the reasons I feel bad about it. But he's not been the same guy. He's had flashes, but this year against the Colts, it's all been Jonathan Taylor. We've watched the games, and we were like, oh, yeah, the Colts are winning. And then you watch the games, you go, well, it's not because of Carson. He's just out there managing games and barely putting up passing numbers. And that game against Jacksonville is got to be one of the final straws for them because they expected to win that game and be in the playoffs. This was a no-brainer. Half the fans were showing up in clown costumes to protest the owner.
Yeah,
and
man.
You don't win that game?
It's like walking into the Saints when they used to wear the paper bags on their head and losing to that the Aints, you know, exactly. And losing to that team. Yeah, man. You know, some things were glaring. Did you see the postseason press with Frank Wright and they asked him about Carson? He's like, I don't want to talk about it. Like non-committal. Yeah. How are you non-committal on Carson Wentz? That was crazy, you know. The game where they only asked him to throw the ball 12 times, I was just like, damn, they only asked Carson to throw the ball 12 times? Yeah. It was 5-12. I was like, but it's bigger than him going 5. Now, granted, lowest stat of his career, but it's something, you know, sometimes it's telling in there, man, like 5-12. They took the ball out your hand completely. And I think that was the game that Michael Pittman got ejected. And it cost me the game. I think I remember there he threw 5 balls and they were all over the place. I mean, Michael Pittman had no chance. There were a lot of them behind them. And I was just like, man. But, you know, we've seen flashes of it. A lot of fumbling early with Carson, throwing the ball directly into the D line. A lot of those his first year. Fumble. He would fumble very easily. And he would throw the ball right to that line and just boom, the ball would just drop. So I think he, man. Because, I mean, you granted, you have Jonathan Taylor. I mean, who wouldn't want Jonathan Taylor as their running? But you can argue, so you have the best running back in football right now. I mean, healthy. Because, I mean, King Henry is King Henry. But Jonathan Taylor can do a little bit more. Henry was catching the ball a little bit more out the backfield this year. But Taylor, when he's going, man, it's unbelievable. You know, so when you have that type of talent, when you have your run game and that line, when you've literally surrounded, but this is when you can pick on the quarterback when you've solidified a lot of the other things around him. That Colts defense is a solid defense. That Colts line is one of the best lines in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Taylor was the best running back in the NFL this year. You have Michael Pittman, a really good young receiver who we would love to have over here in Philly. T.Y. Hilton, yeah, he's kind of a wash. He's been in and out, really hurt, but Pascal stepped up. You have some players that can play. You know, and you have veteran in Doyle and Mo Alie-Cox. You got some guys, some veteran guys on that team. So you can pick on the quarterback. When you have other problems going away around you, it's really hard to start with the quarterback, kind of bringing that back to the Eagles. That's why it's like, okay, we have a solid enough quarterback. Let's build around him. Then if the quarterback isn't it, then we just replace the quarterback at the end. But let's build around him. Why it doesn't cost us anything? You know, that's just my philosophy, man. You know, you got somebody that's doing the job well. Let them do the job and continue to build around him until that becomes the piece. I can see how Indy feels like Carson Wentz is the problem this year. How can you not blame Carson? You had two games to get into the playoffs. Two games. Control your own destiny. No excuses. All you have to do is and you get a cupcake, disastrous Jaguars team, fired coach, right? Struggling rookie quarterback. His starting running back's out for the year. They're playing with a backup running back. I mean, you name it. You know, he doesn't have DJ Chark out there. He's dealing with Michael Jones. I mean, you know, it's no reason for Carson to go in there, man, and blow that game like that, man. But he did. What's the best? He's still a starter in this league, in my opinion.
For now.
I just think he needs I just think he needs some confidence, man. I just think, but if you have a good run game, your confidence should be there. That's why it's so hard for me to let him off the hook. Yeah, it's because you have a run game. It's hard. Like, man, dude, you should be passing better than this.
Well, you know, it's just hard to believe this is the same guy that started 2017 so well. If you watch that season back, this guy looked like he was the next Aaron Rodgers, the next Tom Brady. He was dropping dimes. And he was a leader. He was confident, and then it all fell apart when he got injured against the Rams. And it was a great game for him. He was a field general, and it's hard to believe this is the same guy, because when you watch him now, you see a lack of confidence. You see a hesitation. You don't see you see him wait on throws that he should make, you know, on time. And I think what the Jaguars did was basically say, "We're gonna make you beat us," because they lined up against Taylor. They stuffed. I don't know how many times that they had a short yarded situation, be it third or fourth down, gave it to Taylor, and they just stuffed it. They were like, Wentz is going to have to beat us. And when they put the ball in Wentz's hands, he threw picks. And it was, what are you going to do when that happens? You got to put the blame on him, because they had all the other components. You're playing one of the worst teams in the league. There's no excuse for that. Granted, on the road, it doesn't matter. So we'll finish this off. Sorry, yeah. Carson. We're glad you get a better draft pick. We loved you when you were here, and we wish you the best. But, man, going into that, we're going to take one more dig at him, because I got another great TikTok. This is basically a spoof that a guy did on Carson Wentz, mostly visual, so our podcast people won't be able to see it. But this is hilarious. Here we go.
Carson, got an easy one this week. Jacksonville, we win. We're in the playoffs, so just take care of that ball, okay? What was that? Carson, don't mess with me. I need you to take care of the ball. They are the worst team in the league. Carson, are you going to play a game or not? We just got to beat the worst team in the league, and we're in. Why do you keep winking? Cut that out. Right now. Carson! I'm going to lose this game.
That
just kills me.
Oh, man. That shows, man.
That just tells it all. So, you know, it is what it is. And we got some great stuff happening this weekend. Colts are out. What was so crazy, we'll talk about it just briefly. Freaking Chargers, Raiders to determine the fate of the Steelers. If that game ends in a tie, the Steelers are out. The Colts lose and put the Steelers into that position. And that game, you can't even say enough about how insane that game that was. Yeah, was six fourth downs that the Chargers went for and got. And their defense let them down. Let's just be honest with you. Their defense could not stop Jacobs. It made a big difference in that game. And poor Chargers are out, too. So it's a crazy playoff.
Hey, what did it come down to? Was the first thing? What was the first on Tubby's keys? Rookies versus champions.
Yeah.
What is Staley?
Yeah.
A rookie head coach. Yep. He should have never called that timeout.
Never called that timeout. So go for it on fourth down, man, on your own 20. That's a rookie. That's a rookie.
The moment.
Coach. Yeah.
And that's what I fear, that Sirianni isn't above this. I mean, granted, you know, Herbert threw 30 incompletions. I mean, that's still a lot of. He was 34 for 64 or something like that. But it was, 64, Pat. I mean, something like that. I mean, still 30 incompletions, bro. I mean, he is. Mind you, Herbert was at. This is my old quarterback. I feel like I can critique him well, because he was with the Ducks for 4 years. Yeah. I've seen him play live against my big red when he came out there. So I've seen him play. And he got benched a couple times for the Brown. Brown can't win a big game for the Ducks this year. So Herbert has always had those moments. He throws the pick six against Houston. You know, that's why you're not in the playoffs. He threw a pick six against Houston. Mm-hmm. So we talk about Carson not winning those. You have to be able to beat Houston. If you're going to be this young phenomenon, you have to go in there and beat Houston.
Right.
I'm just saying, you know. Baker Mayfield is expected to beat Houston. I'm just saying. You know? So he has some flaws there. That rookie coaching staff, I think if Herbert didn't have a rookie coach, I think they would have been in the playoffs this year. I really do. Yeah, Austin Ekeler, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. I mean, you kidding me?
Yeah.
Can you imagine walking into the league and Keenan Allen is and Austin Ekeler are your captains on your offense? Come on, man.
You know, luxury. Like you said, you could talk about them calling the timeout when the Raiders might or might not have let the clock run out. They say they would have. Who knows? But, you know, in that situation, he calls timeout. But I'm still talking about going for it on fourth down on your own 20. That's the one thing I don't get. There's a lot of risky things you do in this league. And a lot of people are going for it on fourth down. But you go for it on fourth down on your own 20. Granted, they only gave up a field goal after that turnover when they didn't get it. But that 3 points meant a lot at the end of that game. And that's Staley just not getting his head in the game. He's so determined. You're playing against a Raider offense that has struggled a lot during the year. Granted, they're getting components back at the right time, and they're starting to get hot at the right time. But you don't do that. And if Sirianni ever did that in an Eagles game, go for it on fourth and two from your own 20, I'm done. I'm over him. That would be it. But, you know, it's a crazy league. And speaking
crazy league, man.
Of crazy leagues, we're going to talk about our pick segment that we've been doing, the NFL picks game. Now, we've had week 18 come down and the bowl games. It says week 14 on the slides. Ignore that. It's week 18. We've come down to the end, and right now, after all the bowl games and after all the picks, your boy Greg Lee is tied for first, still up there hanging around. I went 10-6 this last week, a week 18. I said I was going to pick a lot of underdogs, because it was so many teams resting players. It worked out, went 10-6, and I pulled even with Tim Case at 190. We're pretty much a two-horse race at this point. The next guy in the pick segment is third at 30, Darren Muir. He's in third place, and he's tied with Jay Berry, who's also at 30 points. And then you got Doc Goings at 10. So coming into the playoffs, there's only a handful of games left, and everyone's going to count. Now, the pot in this thing is everybody puts $50 in this game, so the pot this year for first place is $650. So money's real, and I want some money. So let's see what happens with our picks for the wild card week and six games on the schedule. And I'm going to let you – we're going to do something different. Since it's the playoffs, we're going to let you pick with me just for grins on who you think is going to take these games. You see mine up on the screen. We'll start with the first game of the week, which is Saturday afternoon. We got Cincinnati at home, given 6.5 to Las Vegas. Now, I do think with Cincinnati's high-powered offense, my opinion, Ja'Marr Chase, you got to love Joe Burrow, that they should win this game. I just think 6.5 points is a little bit too much. I think it may come to in that area. I think it's the Vegas oddsmakers being coy, because I think that the Cincinnati defense tends to let them down. We've seen people score on them, and it puts a lot on Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. And I will say this, Vegas's defense is starting to get healthy. They're starting to play a little bit better and more aggressive up front. Defensive backs, they got a little bit of a struggle, but that front seven is really one of the hardest ones in the AFC to play. So I took Vegas. Who you got? Getting sick.
I like Vegas there as well, too, only because I do think the Bengals are going to win this matchup. But because it's Cincinnati and it's in Cincinnati, anything can happen. It's not going to be easy. For Cincinnati to have joy, it's not going to come easy. So it's going to be probably a late field goal, something like that. Maybe Burrow running him down there. Maybe he's down by three or four, and he sends him down, throws one to Ja'Marr Chase or T. Higgins to win the game by three. So I like that pick right there.
Good. Yeah, I agree. Their offense is too powerful to overlook, but I do like the Vegas defense better than Cincinnati. So I think it's going to be a good close game. All right, the one Saturday night game that's going to be, this is the third time running. They've had a couple of really interesting games this year. But we got Buffalo at home, giving 4.5 to New England. When I look at everything, I know Buffalo has been struggling as of late, but this is a time where it's time for them to nut up or shut up. They really have to do something. Josh Allen, this is what you've been building for. You've just won the AFC East. You knocked them down a peg. Now can you do it when it matters? Belichick's going to be ready. I had to take Buffalo from that standpoint, given 4.5, because they're at home, because there's a lot on the line. You're either going to do it or you're not against a rookie quarterback in Mac Jones and kind of a, you know, half-hearted offense. Can they do it? What do you think?
I'm with you on this as well, too. I would take Buffalo. I would take Buffalo here. But, man, here's where my doubt comes in that. There's a reason why Josh Allen played football about an hour and a half away from me when I lived in Wellington up in Wyoming. It's because he has an incredibly strong arm. I think he has one of the strongest arms in the NFL. He's great in the pocket. But sometimes, man, he can spray the ball all over the place. You know, he can be a little overconfident. And I think, man, playing against Belichick, it's just the worst coach to go up against if you're a young quarterback, because he will exploit whatever weakness you have. You know, he's a defensive-minded coach, one of the best defensive coordinators of all time. Mind you, goes back to the LT and Carl Banks days. You know, he's made his hay. You know, he didn't just pop up on the scene with the Patriots. This guy has been on the scene. He's a Parcells branch. But I like Buffalo here, man. I think Buffalo's going to win by 6. I think he's going to just kind of because I don't think Mac Jones can get into a shootout, but I think Josh can get into a shootout. That's the difference. But Buffalo has no run game, man. And I think if you're one-sided against New England, Belichick is going to make it very hard for you to win the game. But if my money is on it, I'm betting Buffalo. And I am going to bet Buffalo.
There you go. Yeah, Belichick's a hard one. It really is, but it's a little bit different. We go back to the rookies and Mac Jones in a big environment where Josh Allen's been there. He's got a little bit of hunger. That's the only reason I really went with Buffalo on this one. All right, so then we got our game. Sunday at 1 o'clock, it's going to be a lot of fun. Tampa Bay at home, giving 8.5 to Philly. Now, I took Tampa Bay because there's money on the line. And I really think, and there's a lot of people that are taking Philly getting points, especially getting this many points. And I can understand why. They're going to play this game tough, and they could very well easily keep this within 8 points. Our fear is what we talked about during the podcast is Gannon. If Gannon plays Brady the way he played him before, I think Brady is not going to leave anything to chance. There won't be a second half comeback because the Bucs this time are going to shut that down because it's the playoffs. So we won't have like 28-22. It could be 30-10, something like that, if Gannon plays what we think he will. If he doesn't, if he surprises and comes out and plays like the Saints, then they win. I don't care about losing this pick. So what do you got in this game for our game?
All I'm going to say is I understand what you're doing here. That's it. I understand. That's it. I understand. So, Dallas.
But who you got? Who you picking?
I understand. I understand why you picked the favorite. I understand. That's all I'm going to say.
No picks on this game.
I understand.
I abstain. I get you. I abstain.
I understand.
I'm with you. Now, here's the funny thing on the spreadsheet we've got here with the picks, Dallas. I did have their logo up, but for some reason, the system has deleted it, which I'm perfectly fine with. The no Dallas logo. I don't know what happened.
The Eagles software.
It is, definitely. So we got Dallas at home giving 3 to San Francisco. I think this could be a really good game, but Dallas is at home, and regardless of how good they are, man, they get some great home cooking at home, especially first round of the playoffs. San Francisco, like you said, Garoppolo can be hot or cold. Right now, they've been flashing hot. Elijah Mitchell's playing really good, and Deebo Samuel is probably one-man wrecking crew as far as that wide receiver spot. So it could wreak havoc against that Dallas defense, really could. And I do think San Francisco's defense is up to the task. But I look at a play that happened during the Eagle game in Philadelphia where CeeDee Lamb blows up an Eagle defender and doesn't get called for a pick, but yet there was a Devontae Smith that did it. It was basically one of our smaller receivers brushed up against a guy, and there's the flag for offensive pass interference. You can't, if you look at them side by side, there's no question that CeeDee Lamb's pick was way more devastating than Devontae's or the Eagles version. I can't remember if it was Devontae. Sorry about that. But it was not a fair and balanced officiating crew,
right?
Yet again, and right. It never is. And now, granted, you can call us Eagle homers, but it's the truth. You can go all the way back through the history of the NFL, and you can pull these out. So I think Dallas is going to get some home cooking. I think it's going to it's going to come down to maybe a touchdown at the end. I think Dallas probably win by 7 in this one. What do you think? That's my lock of the week, by the way.
I think Dallas going to beat the brakes off of San Francisco. I think they should be happy that they won against the Eagles in the last week. I think this gave them a very favorable matchup. If you look at anybody else on this list, they don't want to play. They can't beat any of those teams, and they haven't beat any of those teams. They haven't beat the Bucks. Anyway, I think the Cowboys, it was only a 3-point spread. I will roll with the Cowboys here 100%, man. And I double lock of the week. I think they have nothing. I think San Francisco is very limited, man. That's why they have to do so much with Deebo Samuels. I think they're extremely limited. I think, I'll say this again, man, Dallas has an embarrassment of wealth on offense, man. Embarrassment. Every position, bro. Right? The person behind the person is good too.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Good as, you know. So
I hate to say it.
I'm doubling down on this.
I think their weakness is on defense, and that way it could hurt them as far as their defensive coverage. If Diggs doesn't play because he was out, and Parsons doesn't play, depending on how well they play, it could expose a little bit and get Kittle open over the middle. Deebo making some plays. You don't know. But if I'm putting money on it, I do agree with you. I think Dallas could easily win this by a couple touchdowns. So.
Mind you, pro football focus, not emotions, not what people think.
Exactly.
Pro football focus.
Yep, I agree.
Has Michael Parsons number one for a reason, because feelings aside, that's the number one dog on their defense, man. He is a problem, and he's going to give San Francisco a lot of problems, man. I don't, no way in hell San Francisco winning this game. I hope I'm wrong. Oh, believe me, I hope I'm wrong. Yeah. Talking out of both sides of my mouth here, but my money's on the Cowboys.
I hear you. So that brings us to the Sunday night game. Now, this one was a tough one to pick. I really had to go back and forth on this. I initially had Kansas City. They're at home giving 12.5 to Pittsburgh, who squeaked in with a tie to the Lions under their belt. But you got to admit that Pittsburgh did a lot to beat Baltimore in the final game of the season. You know, they struggled against Green Bay and pulled off an emotional, you know, scene there. Actually, who was it they beat at the end at Ben's last home game?
Baltimore.
That was it, his last home game?
Home game.
Yeah, the one
home game where they did was the Browns.
The Browns. I believe it was okay, the Browns. That was the Browns. So, you know, big emotional moment for them to win two games in the division at the end of the season. I think there's something going on right there with Ben looking at retirement. If not, at the very least, moving on, he should retire. So everybody's leaning toward his. That's what's going to happen. He's definitely not going to be with Pittsburgh anymore. And so I'm going to take them not winning this game against Kansas City, but keeping it relatively close. So I had to, at the end, I had to take this 12 points in a playoff game and say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and take the points and take the Steelers. Who you got?
I like Kansas City here. Pittsburgh struggled against the Baltimore last week, and Huntley couldn't really move the ball. He had a really bad game. So I don't think – I think Kansas City is the best they've been all year. And they're former champs. And they have the best quarterback. Unless Najee Harris – has a really good game, it's hard for me to see the Steelers keeping it close here, man. I think Kansas City can run it up on them, honestly. Really do.
I agree with you, and that's the thing. It's really hard for me to game. So this to gauge on this one, so I'll have to just see what happens if I don't change this before the start of the games. But anyway, that brings us to our final game. That's a Monday night game, which is crazy for the playoffs. We don't usually have that, but we do this week. And the Rams are at home giving 4 to Arizona. One of the reasons I took Arizona was because I didn't have a lot of underdogs on my sheet, and I looked at them over the course of the year. I looked what they did to the Cowboys and how they shut them down, and I just, this thing about this Rams team is it seems like it's almost like a Daniel Snyder Washington team where you put a lot of money into it and you buy this really souped up hot rod of a car, and you got players like Von Miller and Aaron Donald and Odell Beckham Jr. and you go out and get Matt Stafford, and then it doesn't seem to run right. It seems to hiccup every now and again. And they've had that kind of a season where they ended up, you had a game that if they beat the 49ers at home, they win their division. And they end up falling down to the fourth seed. You know, they still survived and got the division only because of was Arizona lost. So coming into this, I think that the Arizona's got a shot here. Maybe not win, but keeping it within three. What do you think?
Man, I got the Rams all the way here. Man, they have an unguardable Cooper Kupp. I mean, we're talking Stafford is about 3 yards from throwing a touchdown to OBJ. And that ball's underthrown. That ball's 3 yards further. He just burns one more calorie on that throw, Stafford. OBJ's walking in the end zone, and the Cowboys are playing Arizona instead. So I think LA let off the gas. I think LA's a way better team than Arizona. I really do. Even with Connor back, I just think I like LA here. I'm actually 4 points. I'm actually gonna put some bread on LA. Yeah, man. I'm looking at it. I'm about to get on my FanDuel app right now. This is not sponsored by FanDuel, by the way. But nah, man, I'm taking LA here. I like LA here. It's really only difference. We only differ on the last two games. And I'm Eagles Mafia. I'm part of the Eagles Mafia. So, you know, I don't speak.
I hear you.
I don't speak. Yeah, let me put up my Eagles Mafia there background.
Go. There you go.
Yeah, I pledge allegiance to the Eagles. I'll never speak ill will. It's my birth.
That's great. Those well, are, I hear you. It makes perfect sense. Of course, I have to, just for the record. Yeah. But I don't like it. Yeah. I don't like it because you've got that back of your head that you're jinxing one way or the other. But, you know, the thing is that I looked at the sheet, and I really, a lot of times when you're making these picks against the spread and you're in an all season long, it's very unlikely that five favorites are going to cover this weekend. Very unlikely. So I had to look at what underdogs do I think have the best chance of covering this week. It's not the 49ers. I would say the Eagles, but I'm just not going to be the Eagles. So then I look at, well, what else we got? And so I looked at Pittsburgh and Arizona, the two that I think maybe New England could cover. But I looked at Pittsburgh and Arizona as being possibilities to cover and keep those games closer or garbage time. You know how these things work. And I think Arizona's had one of those seasons where they lose to Detroit and then kill Dallas. You don't know what to then, and then they lose to Seattle and a chance they had to win the division. But they 38-30. You know, when you got Kyler Murray back there, you got a chance. And I think they're in a similar situation like with the Eagles. They got a chance. It's just going to be an interesting game. It's going to be an interesting game.
I see how you feel with that Kansas City game. I see what you mean. I really do. You know, because Steelers can make any game a dogfight. Just for some reason, some way, they can make any game a dogfight. But I don't know, man. My money's on my boy Andy, man. I'm rolling with Andy. That's my guy. Like I said, Eagles Mafia. You see the flag in the back, Mafia.
Exactly.
We don't speak ill. We just say nothing or we praise. That is our slogan over here.
I hear you.
So yeah, man. Those some good picks, man. I feel you on the Steelers game, but I think I'm gonna move the line down to 9.5 for Kansas City and take Kansas City.
There you go.
Like a slide. I'm gonna move the line. Nine and a half.
I do think that they could win easily by 10. I just did this. That's, you know, how these things work.
I feel it comes
back to garbage time. One little turnover at the beginning of the game. Pittsburgh scores a touchdown easy, and then Kansas City's playing catch up the whole game. It's one of those things with making picks against the spread that you have to factor in. And I think in a playoff game, I could be wrong, but I think 12.5 is a little too much. So I think it's going to be somewhere in that margin, and I'm willing to take that margin. And because really, I just look at the numbers, and you just don't expect all favorites to cover. So you got to look at what underdogs have the best chance. And I took Vegas, Arizona, and Steelers as the best.
You know what's sneaky about that Kansas City game? I think because they're at home. You know, Kansas City is one of the toughest places to play in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So I think they're probably getting maybe 2 to 2.5 points just because they're playing in Kansas City. So maybe that's where we both meet at the – I could see 9, 9.5. 12 is a lot, but I think if I had to put my money on it, man, I don't know. They've been struggling to move the ball with Ben. I think Ben threw the ball 1,000 times, and it was like 150 yards or something like that. He just don't have it anymore, man.
It's true.
Najee Harris. And your boy Gentry. I like your boy Gentry, man.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan.
Yeah, from Michigan. And so it's gonna take some doing because Kansas City did beat them a few weeks ago, 36-10 in Kansas City. And so it's a lot of times, though, when you have a big win like that, it's hard to duplicate that effort, especially at home. But Kansas City had ripped off three big wins at the end of the season against Denver, Las Vegas, and the Chargers, and then and then Pittsburgh, and then they gave up 34 points to Cincinnati and lost, and then they really struggled against Denver 28-24, and it makes me ask what happened the last couple of weeks to the Kansas City defense that had been playing so well, much better than they had all season, and what did they change? I think what ended up happening was that Cincinnati game exposed a little bit on their man coverage to where teams started to exploit that if they have a player like Ja'Marr Chase, and Denver was eating them up a little bit with Jerry Jeudy. So I think that, yeah, can Ben duplicate that? Maybe not. But if they throw some underneath coverage, who knows? You gotta see what happens. Defensively, maybe they shut down kids. I got to take a shot. I got no choice. Either way, it's going to be a great playoff weekend. Win or lose for the Eagles, I think we can agree it's going to be a fun weekend. Regardless of what happens, we will be back here on Monday to discuss the playoff game and get ready for the Rams and Cardinals. We may do Tuesday so we can watch the playoff game, Rams and Cardinals. We'll see. But we'll discuss that. So Monday or Tuesday, we'll be back to discuss that game, and it'll be a lot of fun. We'll discuss whether the Eagles won or lost. If they win, we keep on doing this. And like you said, we will do a draft podcast within the next few weeks as well, to do a draft preview, and then we'll do a draft post-draft preview. Once the Eagle season is all done, we'll start talking a little bit about the draft. But yeah, we'll keep doing this as long as they keep winning. So that's the key. That's the incentive to get more Where Eagles Dare podcast. Just win, Eagles.
Just win, baby. Yes, sir.
We want to thank everybody for listening to the show tonight. If you joined us on Facebook Live or YouTube or Twitch, we want to appreciate that. You know, say thanks for that. We hope you have a great weekend enjoying the playoff games. If you're listening to us on one of our many podcast providers, make sure that you always subscribe and listen to us each and every week. We really appreciate that as well. If you want to email us, you can do so at our email address, which is lee.byrd, that's B-Y-R-D, .eaglesdare@gmail.com. And that brings us to the end of the show, where I turn to Tubby and I ask him for some final words.
Nah, man, grateful to watch the game this week. Got some friends coming down, going to watch it with us. And, you know, as always, man, fly, Eagles fly.
And go Birds. Have a great weekend.
Cheers.